What's up, everybody? It's your boy Joseph Sikora. But you may know me like Jalen Rose knows me. Tommy from Power. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Don't look away.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, Doug?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together we're Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, it's Friday. Happy Friday to everybody. We will have Marcus Spears join us later, but I couldn't help but notice during the intro, Jalen, a little somber. And you've been talking for months about your Lions drafting Tua Tagovailoa.
Meow.
And at number three, they got a great professional football player, but was not Tua Tagovailoa. Are you going to convince yourself that drafting Oduka was the right thing to do for the franchise?
Shout out to Oduka. Welcome to the Lions. I'm going to rep him to the fullest. I just hope we don't do with him like we did with our former all-pro cornerback. Mm-hmm. Just let him go when it's time to pay him. With that being said, quarterback is the most important position in sports. This is why Green Bay went and drafted Jordan Love. They understand that. This is why Kansas City moved up to get Mahomes and let him rest a year. They understand that. You know what? The frustration is so much, I want to introduce somebody to the show.
What's happening?
Somebody's been rooting for the Lions since 1973.
What is that?
Motown
happening?
Clown.
The Motown Clown.
You know,
clown is here.
He saw Eric Hippel and Gary Danielson and Scott Mitchell, Andre Ware, Rodney Pete, who I love. Big shout to him.
This is what happens when you close barbershops.
Dan Orlowski. And older past his prime, Dante Culpepper, Charlie Batch, Jacoby. Mm. You have a chance to take a franchise quarterback. You should do it.
You really
we didn't
should.
Do it.
Overthought
and
it.
And like I told
Overthought
you yesterday,
it.
My good friend Stephen Ross owns the Dolphins. And I'm going to be just like Jerry Jones, but except I'm going to be on his boat. And I'm going to be in his suite. And you know what I'm going to have to do? Watch Tua play football up close and personal.
Yeah, you are.
And
yeah,
be an all-time great player if he could stay healthy. It's just.
You know what? You should just become a Dolphins fan. You should just become a Dolphins fan. Be like Jacoby. Be a Diezy fan. Just jump off the bandwagon. You're the Lions. You're in an abusive relationship. You're in an emotionally abusive relationship with this team to the point where you're wearing an Afro wig just because you can't get a haircut. Well, we did notice that Tua Tagovailoa did get drafted, as you mentioned, by the Dolphins. And you know what? They got themselves a franchise quarterback. Jalen, do you think that Tua will bring the Dolphins to the top of the AFC East now that Tom Brady is no longer in the division?
So the Dolphins have made some terrific moves this offseason. Shout to their front office, their head coach, Brian Flores. They created a great level of momentum how they finished last season. When you started this topic, what did you call Tua again?
Franchise quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. So all of the moves that the Dolphins made, they made some great moves, right? Do they matter if they don't have Tua? Do they matter if Ryan Fitzpatrick is their future?
No.
And again, the Packers won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre and drafted quarterbacks. I have to watch those guys play in the same division. I love Matthew Stafford. I want him to go somewhere and win. I know he still has value. That's why I wanted him to win 11 games in a playoff this year, and then turn the keys over to Tua for the next 10 or 12. I really believe Jeff Okuda is going to be a great football player, but he's a cornerback. We had a chance to get a franchise quarterback.
Jalen, I know you're emotionally hurt from the events last night. I can hear it in your voice, and I'm really close to you. I mean, you're not the type to just wear a wig on television. Even when you said give the people what they want, you just kind of said it. You didn't even sing it. But I need you to regroup because we need you to take us behind the curtain. Well, you mentioned Jerry Jones was on a yacht making his pick. And who did he pick? CD Lamb will now be on the Dallas Cowboys, giving Dak more weapons to throw the ball to. But that wasn't what was important about Mr. Lamb's selection. What was important is this video. We need you to take us behind the curtain. Tell me what's happening with the second phone there, Jay. Tell me what's happening with the second phone there, Jalen.
Well, what had happened was he got a little loose with the burner. And by the way, you see he holding it in his left. As soon as his girl grabbed it, he's like, I'm not going to be able to do it. We're not doing that right now.
If I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm concerned about ball security. You know what I mean? Like, you got to hold on to that thing. You can't just let him force a fumble like that. And then, because he saw it, and it became a trending topic, and it's hard to defend yourself in this one. So he just took it to Twitter to try to explain himself. And what do you think about this explanation? He said, y'all really got to chill. It wasn't even like that. I don't know, CD.
Oh, it was definitely like that.
What was it like? Tell me what it was like, CD.
He's like, y'all ruining my celebration. I got drafted. By the Cowboys, I'm supposed to be living my best life. Wifey got on her skirt. We chilling, and y'all focused on the phone. Y'all focused on the phone. Y'all making it bad for me right now. Y'all got to chill.
I love it so much because you can imagine the number of texts that come in that moment. You can imagine just everybody in your phone is texting you. Everybody is. And you know, that thing is buzzing and buzzing and buzzing. And some tells me that he was on the main phone with the right hand. That was the main phone. The left hand was the phone that you don't really give the number out to, because the one in his right hand was getting all the texts. Bam, buzz, 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 buzz. But there was a couple coming to the left hand, and you know, she knew. She grabbed that thing right. I loved it so much. This is my favorite thing that happened last night. It really was.
That was my favorite too.
It was so Cowboys.
He was getting some old school, high school texts. And she was like, see, I've been told you need to change your number.
He's like, I didn't give you the new one. Big shout out to CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys. We're going to have Marcus Spears join us in a second. But before that, I just want to remind everybody that on Sunday night, after you watch episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance, tune in to ESPN.com, the ESPN app, Jalen Jacoby Twitter handles, where we will have the official Last Dance after show hosted by me and Jalen Anthony Rose. Big week this week, all about the Bad Boys and the rivalry between the Bulls and the Pistons. When we come back, Marcus Spears joins us to talk about the draft. Stay tuned.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, who is returning to join us on the program?
It's a family affair.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm just happy that he still has time with us. You might see him on Get Up. You might see him as Pastor Spears on First Take. But he still makes time for the homies. Stood on the table when LSU was considering hiring Ed Orgeron. Stood on the sideline and slap defensive linemen on their helmet to make sure they brought home the national championship. Our brother from another mother, the big swat goo is here. Marcus.
Yes, 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 yes. Marcus Spears, and what a day to have our brother Marcus back, because we are reflecting on the NFL draft last night. One of the most intriguing things that happened in the first round was the Green Bay Packers traded up to pick the successor of Aaron Rodgers. You know that did not make Aaron Rodgers happy. Marcus, what did you think and feel when you saw that happening?
First, I thought it made a lot of sense, and I'm glad to be on with my big bros. I thought it made a lot of sense, Cole. Listen, we've talked about the New England Patriots not having a succession plan, with Jarrett Stidham possibly having to be their quarterback. We talked about them possibly drafting a quarterback, bringing in a veteran. We've thrown Cam Newton to New England and all of that. This is just Green Bay doing what usually good franchises do. they're out ahead of possibly having a guy to follow up Aaron Rodgers. And look, Matt LaFleur, this is what people have to remember. Matt LaFleur is going in his second year in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is not Matt LaFleur's guy. We all assume that because Aaron Rodgers has been so great, that coaches just want to come and fall in line with those guys. And obviously, you win with Aaron Rodgers. That's not what I'm saying. But the bottom line is this. Matt LaFleur is planning on being there after Aaron Rodgers is done. And so he wants to bring a guy that he can develop while he's under that umbrella of already having one of the all-time greats. I like the move. I'm not as emotional about it. I don't care if Aaron Rodgers feel a certain type of way about it. They were playing football 100 years before Aaron Rodgers were born. They're going to play it 100 years after he born. And that's what the NFL is. The NFL is all about what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years. I don't care if people feel a certain type of way. I don't give a damn if Aaron Rodgers feels a certain type of way. We have to protect the Green Bay franchise.
I'm with you, Spears. And as I watch my Detroit Lions just pass like these in the night on Tua, a chance to have a franchise quarterback, it just reminds me something. The Green Bay Packers are in our division. And you know what I've had to watch constantly? Oh, Brett Favre under center, throwing it really deep to Sterling Sharp. Oh, that happened. Yes, Aaron Rodgers throwing Hail Marys against my squad that dropped Megatron to his knees and forced him to retire. They've always had a really good quarterback. And we've had Matthew Stafford, who I love. But if they can draft a quarterback and he's won the Super Bowl and still playing at an elite level, it just frustrates me the idea that my Lions couldn't have drafted a quarterback and sit him this year behind Matthew Stafford. So Jaylen, I'm like Jaylen you. All positions are open. I have no problem with the pick. Backup quarterback is a valuable position in today's NFL.
Yes, backup quarterback is a very valuable position, and Jaylen clearly has PTSD from the Lions' number 3 pick last night. But I will also say this. If you look at the skilled players around Aaron Rodgers, though, if you are Aaron Rodgers, you know what? You need help. Like, you need more than this. And they went pretty far in the playoffs last year with this crew. But if I want to keep my franchise quarterback happy, and I don't think that drafting Jordan Love and trading up to draft him is going to keep him happy when he has this group of people to throw the ball to. I'm telling you. And we got to move on, Marcus, because I know you're focused on that Dallas pick. Okay. I know you're focused on that Dallas pick. So CeeDee Lamb, nice pick. I love his career thus far, but I want to focus on where the pick was made from. Because Jerry Jones, we all saw the different war rooms last night. Jerry Jones was picking from his $250 million yacht. Again, he's on a $250 million yacht making the picks. Marcus, have you been on a yacht? Tell me you've been on a yacht.
I've been on a yacht before, but I hadn't been on one that nice, Cole. First of all, so I tweeted before the draft started, I was one of those people that was super excited to see all of these rich dudes' houses and where they would be drafted from. And then I realized that there's a difference between rich and having more money than you could ever count in 3 lifetimes. That's what Jerry Jones is. So the fact that Jerry Jones, first of all, y'all have boss move or soft move. This is the biggest boss move.
We can't put boss move or soft move on this. It's clearly a boss move.
There is no topping this. He did it from a yacht, fellas, that he owns that cost $250 million. First of all, he probably paid it in cash, the $250 million, and his franchise is worth like $5 billion. So we're going to remove Jerry Jones from the whole like talk about who had the nicest setup. He did it on a damn yacht that he owns. People that build it. First of all, do you know to have a yacht costs you more to store it than it costs people to buy $3-4 million homes?
Maintenance.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. One day we'll make a pit from a yacht and it won't be ours.
You know what I appreciate about Jerry Jones? The owner, the president, the GM, the head honcho of the Dallas Cowboys, he He learned from being in the hotel at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so he was like, you know what?
I'm going to get my own yacht.
I know what to do. I'm going to be on my yacht, my island, my way.
Yes. With my security and my cameras. All right, so we didn't get to see Jerry Jones' home because he was on his boat. That's what I love. We didn't get to see his home because he was on a boat. But I did get the chance to look at Cliff Kingsbury's palatial spread. I mean, he just looked comfortable. He just, you know what he looked like? He looked like someone who just traded for DeAndre Hopkins. You know, he's got no socks on. He's got the whole yard with the fire pit. Look at the fire pit in the middle of the yard there. Marcus, what do you think of Mr. Kingsbury's spread?
Cole, are you telling me that being a below 500 college coach can get you a crib like that? Telling me that you don't have to win anything in college and you can live like Kingsbury? I'm going to take a coach's job. Hey, all three of us in the wrong damn business. We need to go find a foolish administration in college, be the coach, go under 500, get a $25 million buyout, and go buy a Cliff Kingsbury house. Because that's a great life he's living out there, bro. And then the Arizona Cardinals have sold the crib to make sure he in the best possible way to succeed. He got D-Hop. He got Fitz. He got Patrick Peterson. They drafted Isaiah Simmons, who I think is the best defensive player in the draft. And then you telling me that they are going to give him free reign to run the offense that he wants to run? I want to be Cliff Kingsbury after seeing that crib.
And also, during this quarantine, I'm going to say something that you husbands and you dads going to really appreciate. What that picture shows me, he ain't married and don't have kids.
Oh, no kids. That, you can't have a fire pit in the middle of the yard. You got kids. My kids will roast themselves like a marshmallow. First thing I was thinking, we got fire in the backyard. You don't got no kids.
I don't mind being wrong. And here's the other thing. The cost of living is different. When you're in Arizona versus you see where Bill Belichick was, right? That's an expensive zip code, but you don't get as much bang for your buck as you do if you're in Arizona.
Stick around because Marcus Spears is also going to stick around. Jalen Jacoby, stay tuned. You got to give the people. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Marcus Spears joins us on the program. Thank you so much for coming through, Marcus. Now, throughout this show, Jalen and Marcus, you guys have given us such great analysis and in-depth breakdowns of the draft last night. So I'm just going to give you some of my observations from the draft. It might have nothing to do with anything important that's going to happen on the field, but I've got a top five things that I observed during the draft. Number one, Joe Burrow's curtain game. I mean, look at those curtains. Like, those are palatial. I mean, those are some really good curtains, and he was the number one pick. And then we're also going to move on to another quarterback in the draft. The Justin Herbert family spread. You know, they're the only one that really had a spread of food, which I really appreciated. You know, looks like they got some chips, some veggies in there, keeping it balanced. And then we're also going to move on to this one. It's Derek Brown's crib. There's only one guy there practicing social distancing. I don't know if he's a cousin. I don't know if he already tested positive, but like he got the mask on and he's pretty much stays 6 feet away except for the shoulder pat. And then we move on. So this one really got me. The lazy Millie Rock from Jedrick Wills. They were like, they told him he had the Millie Rock and he's just kind of slowly just mailing it in, you know. And finally, this one's my favorite. I know you guys saw this one, Isaiah Wilson. The girlfriend hugs him first. Watch mom's arm come in. No. You got to go. You got to go, girl. You got to go. She grabs her by the shoulder and throws her out the frame like a wrestling move. This was my favorite one. Gentlemen, what'd you think about my very important observations from the draft?
I said that I got to focus on the last one, Cole. The last one, bro. First of all, the mama was right. That's number one. So for anybody that get it twisted thinking the mama is out of place, you obviously won't end up being a wife or a good girlfriend. The second thing is, why did the girlfriend try to stop the mama from moving her out the way? That is,
I don't know.
The relationship is over.
It really is. That ain't gonna work. That's not gonna work.
Fascinating things I saw throughout the draft process. She tried to remove the girlfriend from the camera shot. The girlfriend fought back fought to try not to get up. And the mama was like, nah, I'm going to use my lower half and remove you away from what I taught my son to do. That's why he is a first round draft pick. Shout out to mamas all across the world, bro. Get the hell out of the man's shot when he getting drafted.
And shout out to you too, Marcus Spears. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, Jalen and Jacoby after show, the Last Dance, the official Last Dance after show, live on ESPN.com, on the ESPN app, on Twitter, everywhere, right after episode 6 ends this Sunday night. Make sure you tune to that. We'll be back on Monday. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Jalen, we've been doing this show for 9 years. We always like to give our podcast listeners a little something extra, a little exclusive content. It's been hard during the quarantine, but Jay, this is a big weekend for you because we happen to be employees of the Disney Corporation, ESPN to be specific. So we get sent these links. And when I watch The Last Dance, it's got my name on it. Big font. It says David Jacoby right on top of it, just so I don't sell it to any of my homeboys who are going to put it on the internet. But, Jay, we got to watch episode 3 and 4, and I thought about you the whole time because it is 2 hours focused on the rivalry between the Bad Boys Pistons and the Chicago Bulls. What did it feel like to watch?
Jordan didn't have an individual rival. He had a team that was basically became such, and that was the Bad Boys. And one of the things that they were able to do, they embody team ball, giving up a good shot to get great shots. I think their championship year, nobody averaged 20 points, Jacoby. That's who they were. They beat you with defense, toughness, ball security, camaraderie. And all of a sudden, an electric player came out of nowhere. The likes that no one had seen at 6'6". He was so very athletic, so very fast with the basketball, the lockdown defender. An amazing pitch man, a terrific showman, had the nerve to play basketball with his tongue hanging out. I don't think people grasp that enough. I'm going to make sure I do a better job of bringing that up. Michael Jordan embodied cool, personality, flair for the dramatic. He played basketball with his tongue hanging out and was dominant. And so when these two forces collided, it was mental, it was physical, it was emotional. Shout out to Coach Doug Collins, who was a part of that scrum right there. And the Pistons were the squad that after being physical with MJ, he was like, I got to get in the weight room. He wasn't working out like that. He's like, I got to get in the weight room. And then the other thing that happened was Michael is so good, but what's next? Oh, okay, well, we got to bully Scott. We got to do that. So if we got to push him down, if we got to try to take his heart, so be it. And he had a migraine in a series that we went on to win. And as he ascended in series number 4, highlights how Scottie became a great player and how Rodman brought so much to the table during their second three-peat. Those dudes was unbeatable. That's why they won 72 games and won the championship in the same basketball season. That is crazy.
It was so much fun to watch these episodes because the music selection is so well done. The storytelling is so well done. And we also get sort of like the origin stories of two luminary figures of the NBA, one being Dennis Rodman, the other being Phil Jackson. And Rodman, see, I forgot about this because at the time, you know, I was paying attention, but I wasn't paying attention to the minute details of the Bulls season. I forgot that Rodman straight up went on vacation in the middle of the season.
I need like, a vacation.
You don't do that nowadays. You know, LeBron did his little thing when he went to Miami for 10 days to kind of get right. He kind of like, you know, he kind of made that into like a load management thing. But like that, Dennis Rodman's wasn't load management. He was just straight up, I want to party. I want to party. That's what I want to do.
And also it was like, okay, mentally as a person and as a player, you have to do what you feel like is going to allow you to focus to be best at your job. So he told himself, I'm going to go hard and make all of the sacrifices until Scotty get back. Once Scotty got back, I did everything. Y'all got to let me have a vacation. And of course, his 48-hour vacation turned into days on days on days. And it went from just being in Vegas to also being in Chicago to the point when you start talking about all-time great leaders of the NBA, he looks up at his apartment and there's a gentleman named Michael Air Jeffrey Jordan coming in to get his star forward to come to practice. And he's laying in the bed with Carmen Electra. Pre-era
not just Carmen Electra. Not just Carmen Electra, though, because Michael says that he's good at speaking into microphones. You know, he knows what he's doing. So he says, I'm not even going to tell you what was in the bed. He didn't say who was in the bed. He said what was in the bed. So someone tells me it wasn't just Carmen Electra. I don't know if it was more people. I don't know if he's talking about, you know, maybe some narcotics, maybe some intoxicants, maybe some booze, maybe some animals. Like, I don't know what he was talking about, but he said, I'm not going to let you know what was in the bed, which will be one of the great mysteries that will never be solved. Exactly what was in the bed with Carmen Electra and Dennis Rodman that fateful morning when Michael Jeffrey Jordan had the knock on the door too. And the story goes that he dragged him out of the room by his nose ring, which is just a great visual. I love that visual so much. I love it so much. So much. You know that Dennis Rodman probably stole a couple hoop earrings from Michael's locker while they were together on the Bulls, right?
No doubt about it. You know, Michael was wearing them in his ears and Dennis was wearing them in his ears and everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it was probably like all-star break. Michael Jordan's like, I lost 7 hoop earrings. Wait, what's that? What's that in Robin's belly button? Hold on a second. I think I paid for that. It is such a good watch. I'm so excited for the rest of the world to see it. Every Sunday night, it feels like a football Sunday. You know, it feels like a big Monday night football game or a playoff experience because I think about it all night and I can't wait to watch it. We all have the collective experience of watching it together. Twitter trends are like 100% The Last Dance every Sunday night. It's just such a fun thing to do. And I want to thank the people that work at ESPN Films and the director, Jason Hare, not just for joining us on the after show every single week, but also just for putting this together so quickly. You know, this is changing my quarantine experience. This is excellent, especially now that the NFL draft is pretty much over. Got the first round. I'm not going to watch the fifth round of the draft, but I'm really glad that this is happening for us right now, Jay.
Absolutely. And it gives a chance to give people a peek into the window of the greatness of Michael Jordan. And I want to highlight it by saying this. That was his final year, not his first year. So everybody that's enthusiastic about the basketball you see and the accomplishments that are happening on the floor, remember something. That was his final season in Chicago. He played there 13 years. Okay, that was his final year. And he was still putting in work like that. It is phenomenal. The kind of player that he was, and that's why he's the unquestioned GOAT of the NBA.
Definitely questioned, but we're not going to fall into that same old argument that we always do. But I will also say this is, Jalen, I know episodes 3 and 4 are very important to you because the Bad Boys were involved and how emotionally All involved facts. You are with that franchise. But something tells me we're going to see some Pacer games coming up. Something tells me right around episode 7, 8, maybe 9. We're going to see some Indiana Pacer games. I haven't seen Reggie Miller's face too much. You know, they started episode 3 in the field house And I thought we were going to get a little bit there, but something tells me we're going to see some yellow and blue uniforms clashing up against some red uniforms pretty soon.
Yeah, get ready to see more Reggie Miller, more Gary Payton, like Jason Ayer exclusively told us on the program. And Jordan made sure a lot of people went through their careers and didn't get championships. Now, The greatest players can just join up. Oh, LeBron, I'm about to go run with Wade and get me two real quick. Oh, KD, I'm about to go to Golden State and get me two real quick. The landscape of the game was just a lot different then. Anthony Davis, like, this thing in New Orleans ain't working out. I'm trying to get to L.A. and go run with LeBron. And so for him to be able to accomplish what he accomplished, he played six seasons in a row that his team won the championship in a row.
But not even in a row. He went and played baseball for a couple seasons. That's the craziest part. That's even harder. Six seasons in a row.
About the six times he was in uniform, his team won a championship.
It's insane. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. It will never, ever be done again. It will never be done again in basketball. It really won't. Man, I love this documentary so much. Make sure you tune into that. And make sure you tune in live right after episode 4 concludes Sunday night. Go to ESPN.com. Go to the ESPN app. Go to Twitter. Go to everywhere you can find it. You can find it. The Last Dance After Show with Jalen and Jacoby. We'll be back on Monday to talk a little bit more about episodes 3 and 4 right here on Jalen and Jacoby. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
Also, Jalen, who's going to be joining us on Monday?
Isaiah Lord Thomas III will be here. Hall of Famer, one of the top 50 players of all time. One of my idols, JRLA supporter, entrepreneur, businessman, has one of the greatest smiles that the league has seen, yet one of the most killer instinct personalities that the floor has seen. Isaiah Lord Thomas, leader of the Bad Boys, will be with Jalen and Jacoby this month.
Make sure you tune to that. Thanks so much for watching, Jalen and Jacoby.